grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 253 of the Dudes and Beer podcast, now brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. If you're a fan of podcasting like me, just don't know what the next step is, or if you've already got a podcast and you just want to get it out there a little bit more, stop on by PodcastCadet.com today. Use the code DUDES20 on checkout, and you will get 20% off of your entire cart. Once again, that is podcastcadet.com. Dudes20 is the code that you want to use. Our guest tonight, so excited to have her back, the amazing Sev Talk, author of the book You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, ET Experiencer, Extra-Dimensional Communicator. That is our topic for the evening, is communicating with interdimensional beings and the dangers involved with that. How to protect yourself when traveling interdimensionally, when choosing to go into these realms, when choosing to seek out these conversations. So we will be getting into that with our amazing guest, author and lecturer Sev Talk, whenever we get back from this quick report from our in-house reporter, John Bound from Daily News Collective.
It's very difficult to trust anything ABC News broadcasts after a military gun demonstration from West Point, Kentucky was used to propagandize a Turkish attack against Kurds in Syria.
And when you ask a question like that, it's very deceptive, John. It's almost as deceptive as you showing all of the bombings taking place in Syria, and it turned out that the bombing that you showed on television took place in Kentucky.
Video obtained by ABC News appears to show the fury
bombing Kurd civilians in a Syrian border town.
A border town bombarded by Turkey's military.
Now, horrific reports of atrocities committed by Turkish-backed fighters on those very allies.
But ABC News claims Iran launched 20 and 24 ballistic missiles at two military facilities in Iraq that house U.S. troops, according to a U.S. official. There were no American casualties, regardless of MSNBC's blatant propaganda, before all of the facts were known, as they ratcheted up the Iranian news agency's propaganda panic from Tehran.
Iran state media is claiming that 30 U.S. soldiers have been killed in this attack.
Iran's show of force quickly became a spectacle of fear and incompetence. As the World War III propaganda railed on, there was an earthquake, and not just any earthquake. As the New York Times reported, a 4.5 magnitude earthquake struck southern Iran at a depth of about 6 miles, the United States Geological Survey reported, in the same region as the troubled Bashir nuclear power plant. The plant, which is monitored by the International Atomic Energy Agency, has long been seen as a safety concern by Western countries. It has been plagued by construction delays and technical problems and is on the active fault line. Experts have feared that it could lead to an accident on the scale of the Fukushima disaster in Japan or even Chernobyl. A few hours after Iran's missile extravaganza, word of the U.S. Air Force deploying 6 B-52 bombers to Diego Garcia, an island base in the Indian Ocean, began surfacing. Iran must have been ready to shoot anything that moved, and apparently that is what happened.
We have intelligence from multiple sources, including our allies and our own intelligence. The evidence indicates that the plane was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile.
And so, after days of denial, the Iranians finally fessed up to the incident, confirming they unintentionally shot down the Ukrainian airliner. As the Wall Street Journal reported, Iranian officials have invited investigators from Boeing, the U.S., Ukraine, France, and Canada to probe the causes of Wednesday's crash, which killed all 176 people on board shortly after the jet took off from Tehran, including a number of Canadians. It appears the Iranians folded their hand after Canadian and U.S. intelligence revealed satellite footage of the missile launch that destroyed the passenger plane. Days ago, Ilhan Omar had tweeted, Iran could threaten Trump hotels worldwide, and he could provoke war over the loss of revenue from skittish guests. His business interests should not be driving military decisions. And just like clockwork, a suspicious Iranian national armed with a machete, knives, and an axe was arrested in Palm Beach, Florida, near Trump's vacation home in Mar-a-Lago, with no less than $22,000. After Mar-a-Lago had been targeted earlier in the week, according to Secret Service. Meanwhile, the Mockingbird media has labeled President Trump, not Iran or Ilhan Omar, reckless.
What Trump did was reckless.
Reckless actions.
The president's reckless and irresponsible actions toward Iran.
I think the only word for it is reckless.
Reckless military action that could lead us to war.
Reckless president without a plan.
Reckless. At what point will Iranian propaganda hijack the American narrative?
The administration said this strike was done based on an imminent threat. But this morning you said we didn't know precisely when and we didn't know precisely where. That's not the definition of imminent.
It was very clear. Qasem Soleimani himself was plotting a broad, large-scale attack against American interests, and those attacks were imminent.
John Bound reporting.
John Bound always bringing us into the show. Always an interesting point of view from John, the way that he ties things together. I'm sure that we will hear, that won't be the last that we hear about the Iranian airliner. I guarantee you things are still popping off over there. Things are still going wild. It was very interesting to see the, as John pointed out, the very large earthquake that came about right at the same time of the attacks and everything else. So would be interesting to see what the cause of that earthquake was, being as that there were no tremors beforehand, that kind of stuff. Our guest this evening is Sev Talk, the author of You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens. She has been making the lecture circuit as of lately. Sev, welcome back to the show. How have you been doing?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for inviting me back. I'm happy to connect with you and your listeners again. I've been really good, busy. I have a lot of projects in the works, and I've decided to start my second book this year, too.
Ooh, that's so exciting. Billy Joe Kane is here with us this evening, and he actively has your book in his hand and has been enthralled with it. Since we started chatting a while ago, I've gone through your book. I know I got it just I ordered it just before your last appearance, and have gotten to read through it a couple times. Such an interesting read, such a personal story. Before we get into the real meat of our topic this evening, Sev, which is, of course, communicating with interdimensional beings, not only how to go about doing that, but some of the dangers involved and some of the precautions necessary when going about doing that. Give our audience a little bit of your backstory, how you came into contact with interdimensional beings for the first time, and how long this experience has been going on with you.
My conscious memories of ET contact started when I was 10. And they've continued my entire life up till now, and they're still continuing. However, I was in denial until 2017. I was in total denial about all of it. It scared me. I didn't understand it. And I was just really afraid of what people would think of me if I told anybody. And in 2017, when we moved here to the Inner Banks of North Carolina, I had ET contact with a gray that made me come out. It completely changed my life. And I came face to face with a gray, and it burned two red X marks on my back, on my butt. And I had one X mark on my left cheek and one X mark on my right cheek. And I have pictures of it in the book. And that was my awakening. That was when I realized these are not dreams. These are real. A dream doesn't burn two red X marks onto your back.
Yeah.
And that began my coming out. And it was very difficult for me. I had to push through a lot of blocks because I'd been blocking it for decades. But coming out is the best thing I've ever done. It completely changed my life. And now I'm on this mission to tell my story and to help other experiencers. I offer free help to experiencers. If anyone has had any contact and wants to understand why and know why, because ET contact is not by accident. There's a reason. There are things that we can learn from our experiences that can change our lives for the better. So on my website, planetsev.com, I have a place there for experiencers to contact me and tell me their story, and I'll help them. And I also have a place or a page called True ET Stories, where I share some of the stories without divulging anyone's name, and share pictures and drawings that experiencers from all over the world have shared with me. There are millions of people having ET contact. Most of them don't even know it because ET contact happens in a multidimensional, interdimensional fashion. And our brain has a very hard time explaining that. So it will tell us it was a dream or it was our imagination or it was a hallucination, and it was none of those. It was a real interdimensional, multidimensional experience.
And, you know, I love the fact that you start off every show with how to contact you if you're an experiencer, Sev. That to me is so utterly important. For other people to understand that, like we were saying before the show, that you're not crazy. You yourself, as you said, were reticent to come out for so long. You had experienced this almost your whole life before you were actively ready to come out and talk about it, much less help other people with it.
Yes. When the two red X marks were burned on my back, I needed help. For the first time in my life, I was going to reach out. Oh. And so I discovered Kathleen Martin on the MUFON website. She's the director of experiencer research, and she's also a famous UFO researcher and author and speaker and the niece of Betty and Barney Hill.
Yes.
And she spent an hour and a half with me on Skype. And she helped me so much and validated my experiences. And shortly after that, I wrote the book. And because she helped me, and because I gained so much through her help, that I decided I want to do that for other experiencers. And since then, Kathy and I have become friends. I was actually at her house recently, just a few weeks ago. She invited me to come spend a few days at her house, and she introduced me to other ET and UFO-related people in the Florida area. And I just love her to bits. And she's a very generous person, very kind and very loving. And when she fuels me to do the work that I do, and there's lots of us. There's lots of us that can offer help. It's not just Kathy. It's not just me. There's lots of people because there's millions of people out there who could really benefit from just talking to somebody and just getting it off their chest and just talking to someone who understands and won't judge them.
Yes, exactly. And that's the root that I wanted to get to, Sev, was the judgment. That is so entirely much what this show is about, is open conversation without judgment. Because, yeah, so many people, if you came to them and told them of your experience, they would say you're crazy. I myself am a believer in my spiritual path because of my experience. And yes, I've definitely had people call me crazy saying that I felt the presence of God, that he was right there in the room with me, that he spoke to me and that I heard his voice. I have absolutely had people tell me I am crazy for that. But that is my belief in what I hold to be true and the experience that I had, unique to anybody else. And I will hold that till the day that I die, proof or no proof, because that's what happened to me. And it does take a lot to say that. And it takes a lot for somebody like you to not only say it, but to take the next step and say, I'm here to help other people say it. That I am here to help other people express this that's happened to them that changed their life and paradigm.
Yes, and the beauty of it is that ET contact can change your life for the better. There's a lot of fear out here through TV and movies, sure, and things like that. And I don't take that route. I am the person that talks about how ET contact can benefit your life, not ruin your life. And it really took me a long time not to care what people think. A really long time. And when one is able to release that, my goodness, it is very empowering, and it's very, you can really surprise yourself at the fantastic opportunities that come your way once you release the fear of how you want other people to view you. I've been on this path of authenticity for the past 10 years. It started 10 years after my second divorce. That I just want to be the most authentic version of myself that I could possibly be. And it was along that path that I met the roadblock of the ETs, and I had to move through it. Because I do believe that when you express yourself, your true self, that's your best version of yourself, and that is when you find fulfillment and peace.
Absolutely. Now, a second ago, you mentioned the roadblock of the ETs. Let's kind of crack that nut a little bit, because most people tuning into this would think that the ETs would be the end-all be-all of this experience here, that they wouldn't be a roadblock in the experience. So let's start kind of getting into exactly what this interdimensional communication is, what you mean when you say ET, because of course most people would say extraterrestrial, you know, coming from another planet, but ET means exactly that, folks. It comes from somewhere else, doesn't necessarily mean another planet. So let's talk a little bit about those vibrational levels, what it takes to get there in order to really tune in, because that's what we are biologically. We are radio antennas. You know,
yeah.
We are big biological radio antennas with a huge fractal antenna known as a brain and neurocomplex in our brain, in our heads, you know? And
yeah.
the more we do to tune that and to get those frequencies down, the more these doors open up. And the opportunities abound, but like you said, there's roadblocks too, and that's what people don't understand that I really want to get into tonight.
Okay. Well, my roadblock was my brain. It was the logical side of me that was trying to make sense of these events, and the brain has a hard time making sense of it. So that was my biggest roadblock. Once I stopped allowing my brain to assess my experiences, then I was able to connect more with my mind and with my heart to find the truth as to what was happening. And there are many different levels or dimensions, and each dimension has a different frequency to it. And so our brains are like to work in 3D. However, we are multidimensional, and we are constantly getting information from many, many different dimensions. We don't use all of our brain. our brain is equipped to make sense of interdimensional, multidimensional information, but we haven't allowed our brains to do that. Some of that has to do with just belief, and some of it has to do with activating DNA. We have DNA within us, and not all of it has been activated. But that's a different topic.
Oh, that's an episode in and of itself, the fact that vibration affects DNA, that you can unlock different parts of DNA and capabilities of it with frequencies and sound frequencies. Absolutely and, wild.
Yes, and I received information from the ETs about DNA activation. And on my YouTube channel, Alien Spirit TV, I have started a 10-part series about how to activate your DNA and how that leads to what we call ascension. What is ascension? Why is it important? Why do you want to do that? That's a topic that I'm very, very interested in.
Yeah.
So going back to the dimensions and the
Please.
Different frequencies in them. Oh, yes?
No, no, I was going to say, please take us back to the dimensions and the frequencies.
Mm-hmm. There are different entities or beings in each dimension, different consciousnesses. Some of them have bodies, some of them don't. And as human beings, we can communicate with these different beings. Some of them will have bodies and some of them won't. ETs, we tend to think of them as having a body and coming from outer space and living on another planet that you can touch and that you can see. But not all ETs live on a planet that you can touch and that you can see. There's different ways of living. There's light forms. There's light beings. It's really unlimited. The different dimensions there are and the different life forms that there are. And each life form has its own frequency or vibration, just as each of us do. I talk a lot about the law of alignment. A lot of people call it the law of attraction. I don't call it that because quantum physics says the energy of everything is everywhere. So the energy of what you want is right in front of you, if not inside of you. So it's not about attracting anything. It's about aligning with the frequency of what you want and then having that pop up in your life. And that's what we do 24/7. We're constantly with the energies of situations and events and people and places. So just like on Earth, we need to take a look at who are my friends? Who am I aligning with? Are they beneficial for me? Am I having a good time with them? Are they good for me? And we have to keep that in mind when we start traveling through the dimensions and making friends with other beings, because your energy will align with the beings in the other dimensions. And if you are vibrating at a lower frequency, for instance, if you are filled with fear, you will align with people who are filled with fear, and you will also align with beings that exude fear. Another thing that I learned was about my filter or my glasses that I wore that I perceived my life through. And I have had two marriages that were abusive. And so I viewed my life through the lens of abuse. So when I came in contact with the Grays, I just assumed that they were out to abuse me too, and I was afraid of them. I didn't think they had my best intentions. And once I started doing the self-introspection, which is really difficult work, and I dug deep inside of myself, and I tried to remove that victim vibe.
Oh, sure.
That changed my life. And then I was able to see that these Grays were not out to abuse me and they were not out to hurt me. They were out to help me. So there's two major things. It's one is the frequency that you're exuding, and the other one is what are your filters? How do you view yourself? How do you view the world? That will also determine how you perceive your interaction.
Yeah, absolutely, because it really is the question of, are you having the conversation in the car on the way to the table? You know, if you're, it's kind of the whole idea of science is tainted when it has an expected result.
Yes, quantum physics does say that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know,
the
because
observer.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we absolutely influence the outcome.
Yes.
So if we go into things with a negative attitude, it's interesting how much of this literally translates into everyday life and everyday living, Sev. Because it's much like any radio, you're going to tune into something more frequently if you exercise those frequencies, you know. Mm-hmm. So the more positive you are, the more of that it is going to be around. Like you said, I don't like using the law of attraction either. It's really more spooky action at a distance than anything else, you know.
Einstein, right?
Yeah. It really is more that, where like something I've done over here directly influences you over there in a strange and weird way. You know, mm-hmm. but our worlds have definitely met via distance. And once you learn that, yeah, that is all frequency. Much like what we see, what we hear, the same way that I can hear the music in my neighbor's backyard, but my wife cannot.
Oh.
Because I'm an audio engineer. I have trained my ears to hear things that normal people do not hear. So because I have exercised my ears in that way, I'm more prone to hearing things that normal people do not hear. It's just a muscle. And it's the exact same way, you know. I mean, I would venture a guess that if I had Deepak Chopra on at some point as a guest, he would say it was very much the same muscle as getting rid of the monkey mind in meditation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And learning to just release and be okay with what happens and understand you don't have control over what's happening right now, and you need to be okay with that, you know. And it's kind of the same way, I think, whenever doing work interdimensionally, whenever doing this kind of stuff, because like you said, you really do have to take that intent in with you as you go in to do your interdimensional work, as you go to visit these other places, have these conversations with ETs, that kind of stuff. It is very much the intent that you believe it is.
Yes, and whether you're in a 3D world or in a 10D world, you are wherever you go, you're there, and you're exuding the same energy. What's interesting about some ET contact, we've all heard stories about people who are moved through the ceiling or moved through the walls. I was actually taken on another planet. And
oh, wow.
So some ETs do have the ability to change our frequency, so we can go through what we think are solid objects. They're not really solid.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because everything, like we've been saying, is pure vibration. Even my hands on this desk right now, it's really just repulsion of electrons. It's 90% empty space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our electron fields are coexisting in the same space right now, Sev, and we are halfway a country apart.
Yes. Yes, and that is what remote viewing is all about, and astral travel, because there really is everything, there really is no over there.
Yeah.
It's all in the same spot. And so astral travel or remote viewing is simply just tuning into a consciousness and just kind of like changing GPS points in your consciousness.
Well, and, you know, it really kind of comes down to the message of the Oracle in the Matrix, you know. The real fact is that there is no spoon, and when you figure that out, then you'll really be in for something. Like, you think you've got something now, wait till you figure out the fact that there really isn't a spoon. And that your hand doesn't exist, and that your body doesn't exist, and that the room you're sitting in doesn't exist. Like, it really does. The rabbit hole goes deep and fast when you start talking quantum physics. When you start talking the way that spooky action at a distance happens, the way that we influence things, the way that we can actively take part in a vibrational field somewhere else. And let's start, if you can, go into a little bit of your experience on the other planet. What was that like for you the first time that happened?
So I have memories of it happening twice. The first time was in September 2017. I came in contact with the Grays here. We had just moved into our house here. And it was September 16, 2017 was the first X, and then 9 days later was the second X. And with the second X, I have very, very conscious memories of lying on a hospital-type bed, and I was on my side. And I couldn't move my arms, and I couldn't move my legs. And I was in a room, and there was hardly any furniture in it, and I knew I was on the moon. And in all of my other experiences with the Grays or with the other entities, because I've been in communication with entities other than the Grays, I had never known that I was on the moon, but it was just unknowing. And I felt there was something behind me, and I could move my neck, I could move my head. So that's when I turned around, and standing right behind me, just inches from me, was a Gray doing something to my back. And we locked eyes.
Oh, wow.
We looked right into each other's eyes. And I describe in the book, it was like looking into two pools of black oil. And I turned my head around, and I was scared to death. And then, ding, the next thing I know, I'm in my bedroom. The other time I was on another planet, that was an incident that I call the white dog encounter. That happened in March of 2019. And I have a video about it on my YouTube channel. And I was sitting in this room. It was mostly glass enclosed. And I was in this city, but it was not on Earth. And it had tall buildings, and the next thing I know, this short, white being enters the room. It looked like, it glowed like a light bulb, and then with it was a little white dog that was just as white. And I also have a drawing of this on my YouTube channel, too. I don't know where that planet was. I was never told what that planet was. But it was very similar to a planet on Earth, except for this unusual white being and this white dog. At the time that I had this experience, I did not know that there was another gentleman in North Carolina who also saw that same being. His name is Chris Bledsoe. And I have a video about his story on my YouTube channel, too. And there's a movie being made of his experience, because his experience was absolutely extraordinary. Do you know of Chris Bledsoe?
I do not, but I do now, as does our audience. And I will definitely have to do some research into that, because such an interesting story. Like I said, I've read your book, and it's so honest. It's so forthright and forthcoming with all of this.
Yeah.
Have there been any other experiences with you where you've gone anything more than just extra dimensional with your visitations, where you have been taken to specific places.
Yes. There were two beings that actually entered my living room. And so this happened in 3D. It happened when I was completely awake in the middle of the day.
Oh, wow.
And I had been outside earlier that day. I was just sitting outside. It was a beautiful day, and I was out there with my cats. And I started taking pictures of the sky, and I really didn't know why, but I'm just taking pictures of the sky. And then I go inside, and I'm sitting on my couch, and these two beings come in, and they sit on the other side of the couch. And it's very hard to describe what they look like. They were extraordinarily gorgeous, and they were very tall. And you can't really draw them because they're constantly changing. They're just waves of light of different shades of blue, and every now and then this spring green color would show up on their face. And it was like looking at just a whole bunch of beams like through a kaleidoscope. It was absolutely gorgeous. And they did have a face. They had a two eyes and a nose and a mouth. But their message to me, they told me many things. One thing that really stood out is how loving they were, and they exuded so much love. And it's not a love that we're used to feeling. It's not even like the love of your mother. Like, it's even more than that. And it's really hard to describe it until you experience it. Chris, you might know it because you said that you spoke with God.
Sure. Yeah. For me, it was just a feeling of unconditional oneness, that everything just was. It was literally the ultimate still inside of me and around me, knowing that everything was right in the way that it was supposed to be.
It's hard to describe it,
yeah,
because we just don't have the words.
Well, and that's why I was saying before the show and earlier that it really does boil down to belief. And whether you want to get into its belief in the fact that frequencies can do these things, whether you want to get into belief of the science of it, belief of the mythos and parapsychology of it, it utterly boils down to belief and what we bring to the situation. It really does.
Yes. Yes. Are you willing to have an experience like this? Are you open to have an experience like this? So as I started off telling my story about these, I call them the blue beings or the blue people. I had said that I was outside earlier taking pictures of the sky. And then I just, you know, left those pictures in my cell phone and really didn't think about it until a couple of months later. And I'm going through my cell phone. I'm like, oh, yeah, there are those pictures of the sky. And something told me to enlarge one of the pictures. So I zoomed in, and there was a flying saucer. And I had not seen that flying saucer when I took the picture. So I took a picture of the sky. There's a flying saucer in there, which I did not see at the time at all. And then shortly after that, these two blue beings came into my living room. And they gave me information about Tesla and Disney and Tchaikovsky, and they gave me information about energy packets in our bodies and activating our DNA.
Which, of course, is, like you said, what you have the whole series about on your YouTube channel, Alien Spirit TV, activating the DNA with vibration in order to be able to do these things and be able to contact these realms more readily. Let's start getting into a little bit of, like we were saying, that roadblock mentality. Because I truly do believe in the fact that, you know, like you were saying, your first experience with the Greys was terrifying for you. And it took you understanding it from a different point of view and experiencing it from a different point of view again. In order to lose some of that fear and misunderstanding, but for you to still say that there are caveats to doing this work and caveats to this type of exploration, I think is extraordinarily responsible.
When I was terrified when I came face to face with the Gray that put the X's on my back, that is the third conscious memory I have of being in contact with the Grays. The first time they showed me a baby in a tube.
Wow.
So that was information about the hybridization program. And once again, I felt something behind me, and I turned around, and there were three Grays standing there. They're tall, medium, and short. And they were very nice. And they were very kind, and they telepathically said to me, take your time, don't rush, you're free to just look at this baby and take all the time you need. And I did not understand why I was looking at this baby in the tube. I have a drawing of it in my book.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the second conscious memory I have of coming in contact with them was in Roswell, New Mexico. And that was in 2016. And once again, they gave me more information about the hybridization program. And they didn't scare me then, but I still didn't quite understand what they wanted with me. And I thought they were just messing around with me. And I thought they were just, you know, kind of being mean and playing with my mind and just giving me a really hard time. And now, like I said, I realize that all of that was my filter of how I viewed other people or
sure.
how I just viewed people or entities or beings that I didn't know. I didn't realize that one of my first assumptions about the unknown would be that it was out to hurt me. And so now I don't have that assumption anymore.
And it really does take that leap of faith to get past that fear. I know in our last conversation, last time you were on, I was talking about how I myself suffer from, I guess, what most people would call night terrors. I don't like calling them that because I don't think that there's anything really terrifying going on. Whenever it happens, it's just more the fact of I'm in this mid-drift between wake and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Panic naturally happens when that occurs. And so many people, I think, that's one of the only times that their brain is open to these vibrations when they are relaxed enough to be tuned into these. And that's why the experience happens at that time. And yeah, they end up associating the two because, like,
do you see anything when this happens or feel anything?
Oh, I've definitely had one experience where there was an at least what I fully interpreted to be an unpleasant entity in my mm-hmm. presence during one of them, and it
what did it look like?
It was a large shadow with just glowing eyes.
I've seen them. And
hands.
A hat?
No hat. It was more of a hood than anything else. I had seen it a couple times during the night and then woke up. And it was at the foot of my bed and I was unable to move. And it was reaching for me and I felt its mm-hmm. hand go through me.
Yeah,
it was one of the most, and like I'm saying, terrifying experiences of my life. Yet still.
So we're in control.
Exactly.
Just remember we're in control, and we tell the entity there is absolutely nothing you can do for me. The fear that you're exuding is not working. Like, I have nothing for you. I do not have food for you. Food being fear.
Yeah.
So you just got to go. Like, there's, I have nothing for you. Go on to the next person.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And you really do have to have that faith in yourself and in your own strength and fortitude to know that there is nothing they can do without. And that's just it. Like, we have a good father on that is an exorcist. And that was a question that came up after the last show in one of the website threads was, you know, can someone who doesn't believe be possessed by a demon? And I was like, yes, absolutely. Just because you don't believe in that doesn't mean that you can't open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And very much the same way, there are definitely, I think, things out there that don't necessarily have our best intent at heart, like you said, are more than willing to, whether they mean it in ill intent or not, to feed off of us, off of our energy. You know, like, hey, a tapeworm means nothing by living in your gut, y'all. It means nothing. Like, it doesn't not like you. It's just a tapeworm.
Yeah, well,
that's how it lives. You know, like, you got to feel bad for the tapeworm that's how it has to live and survive and procreate. You know, like,
yeah,
you got to have a little empathy there.
A good way to envision it, because these are beings of a lower frequency.
Yeah.
And so if you're exuding a lot of a lower frequency, if you're a fearful person, if you feel unempowered, if you are a victim, a lot of us do exude a victim vibe, then you do align with these lower frequencies. And what we have decided to call these lower frequencies, we've decided to label them as evil or scary. But those are just our words for those things. It doesn't mean that, you know, they want to eat or, you know, chop our heads off and eat us. It
yeah.
doesn't mean anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not some horror movie or something. It's just, like I said, they don't necessarily have a more enlightened way to sustain themselves.
Right. That's
you know?
Right.
And we as people very much operate in that same way, folks. Like, we're no different. If you think about those people in your life that, you know, sometimes when you just get rid of them, life tends to just move a little bit better. And nothing against them, you know, no ill will intended or anything like that. It's just, hey, your vibe and my vibe do not necessarily coalesce together and create a greater vibration. Maybe they're canceling
yeah.
each other out and you're both having to work too hard to maintain your own vibration, you know?
Yeah.
There
yeah.
And that's kind of the music of the universe here, people, is that we have a chance to vibrate with or against the person next to us. We have a chance to amplify that vibration or subtract from it every time we have one of these interactions with people.
Yes. And so that's one of the pitfalls of spiritual enlightenment or spiritual
yeah.
transformation is you amp up the frequency, your frequency. And then if the person, your partner or your husband or your wife or your friend, anybody, isn't also, if their frequency also isn't changing, and then all of a sudden you're disaligned and you don't understand why. You're like, oh, at one point we were like, you know, the best of friends. We loved each other. We got along so well. And now we're just butting heads all the time. It's just a change in frequency. And
yeah.
it doesn't mean one person is right and one person is wrong, one person is good or one person is bad. It's just science. It's physics.
Yeah, yeah. It just means that you both need to fine-tune your radios again. That's all.
Right. And sometimes that means with someone else.
Sure. Absolutely. And it leads to a lot of realization, a lot of revelation in life once you start going down this path. It sounds varies. I know, like, how did we get onto this spiritual conversation when we're talking about communicating with interdimensional beings? Let's talk more about vortices.
It's related. So Sue asked me,
yeah,
what do ETs have to do with spirituality? Because I'm a spiritual counselor, and I do soul sessions, and one of my most popular sessions is soul purpose readings.
Mm.
And so my practice is about spirituality. And so what do ETs and spirituality have to do with each other? Well, they're completely interconnected, because as you realize that there's a cosmic force that runs through us, that runs through everything, and within that cosmic force, there really is that cosmic force does not exist only on Earth. That cosmic force is life. It's love. And whatever it touches comes alive. And so it's running, that energy is running through the entire galactic system, through the cosmos, into eternity. So it's moving through things and then creating life as it moves through them.
Yeah, precisely. And to know that we take part in that, that our vibration adds or subtracts from that. It's so integral. So integral to just, like I said, it really is a deep point of daily spirituality that you come to accept and that you come to realize, and that you come to realize that when I come into a room with a bad attitude and nobody there has seen me that day, my bad attitude spreads.
Oh, yeah.
You
and
know?
Even the energy coming out of your heart, it affects the energy,
sure,
of the heart energy of the person sitting next to you.
Well, when
you can actually control their heartbeat.
Yeah, it really is a full conscious active participation in the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
And learning to be tuned in, really, with your hand on that fine tune knob all the time, just kind of listening for the subtleties, because that's where it's at. It's not really in the gross movements of how things are working around you that you'll see these things. You'll see it in subtleties. You'll see it in really small ways. What were some of the first ways, just as we wrap things up for our WMLD audience with about 6-7 minutes left, what were some of the ways that you started to notice things change in your life when you started changing your frequency of thought, Sev?
Well, I started to become less judgmental of myself, so then I automatically became less judgmental of others. And so because of that, I was able to become a better friend, a better girlfriend, a better boss, a better everything, because I wasn't judging everybody that was in front of me. Another thing was manifestation. It started happening very quickly, and it wasn't that much of a struggle to pinpoint what I wanted in life or what I needed in life and then have it manifest.
Yeah, because it really is the direct communication with the world around you of, this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need to happen so that my next step can be complete. And as long as that's right and good and not causing harm to anyone, or, you know, there it will be. It's pretty wild. Let our audience up in WMLD land know one last time where they can go to find your book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, where they can go to get in contact with you if they are a contactee, if they do need help, if they do want to come out, and where they can go to get their private sessions, Sev.
Oh, thank you. The book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, is on Amazon. My website is planetsev.com, and I call it that because I actually have a planet in a star system named after me in the Star Wars galactic system. And I explain how that happens on my website. And on my website, I have ET encounters where experiencers can contact me. It's very, very, very private. I do not divulge who you are. You tell me your story, and I'll help you as much as I can. I also have true ET stories where I do share bits and pieces of some of the stories along with the drawings and the paintings. I do think it's important that we do share our stories, so I do share some stories anonymously. I have a newsletter that you can sign up for on my website. I have a new edition coming out tomorrow, and it's all about why dogs and cats are here and how you can have psychic connections with your pets. I have an Instagram, SevTalk, and I have a Facebook, SevTalk.
All right. And, you know, I'm here to tell you folks, the newsletter is great. I signed up before your first appearance on our show, and some of the stuff that you put out in that is so fantastic. Make sure to go.
I'm so happy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Make sure to go on by, check all that stuff out at planetsev.com. That is planetsev.com, everybody. While you're online, make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com as well as HC Universal Network to catch the entirety of this interview, because we're going to keep talking here. So sorry, WMLD. If you want the rest, stop on by the website, check it all out. And let's start getting into a little bit, Sev. Some of the dangers that you have really found doing this work over half your life now. What are some of the things that you've run up against that, you know, you kind of start to warn the wary traveler against, those that are getting ready to go out on the path?
Not realizing that you're in control, that whatever being that you have come in contact with is not in control. You are. In fact, a few weeks ago, I had a friend, a good friend, come spend the night. And the first night that she was here, this shadowy being with a hat came into my room, and it was vibrating on a lower frequency, so it was scary. And I just told it, you gotta go, you just gotta go, like, you just can't be here, it's just unacceptable. And it can be difficult to do that, because you have to fight through the fear. Because it can really, if you're not used to it, it completely takes over you, and that's how they win, and they know that. And so in the beginning, it's a fight, and you have to be very consciously aware of what you're doing. You have to be very present. And it might take one or two times for this being to come to you before you have the nerve and the presence to tell it that absolutely it is impossible for it to stay in your room any longer. It is impossible for it to have any kind of communication with you. And it left. But it took me a long time to know that I could do that. Because for most of my life, I felt all kinds of beings in my room, as many people have, beings that have touched me. And I just always thought they were in control. So that's really the biggest message. And that's the biggest thing, really, that it's because that's why people are so afraid, because they feel like they're out of control.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, what for those that are just becoming initiated, just starting to, I think probably one of the easiest ways to begin experiencing such things is to really start dream journaling. Really, really start exploring your dreams. That's when a lot of these waves start syncing up. when a lot of these vibrations start syncing up in your brain, when you're more apt to experience something, and like you're saying, Sev, to have that mental cognition to say, I am in control at this moment. And, you know, that's what a lot of people say about out-of-body experiences, things like that, is that that feeling of falling that you have right as you drift off to sleep and then wake up, where it feels like you've been pushed and you're falling real quick and then you're startled awake, that is the moment just before transcendence, the moment before you're able to really enter into that realm and fully release. And if you can get past that fear, if you can get past that stomach shaking feeling, that queasy of falling, that you, you will be open to another realm of reality. How can people start to, I guess, recognize, when they're tuning into these frequencies, Sev?
Oh, you just read my mind. That was the next thing I wanted to talk about.
See how I did that?
So, often your body gives you signals. I have learned that when there's a particular entity that comes to visit me, that I have a tingly sensation that is starts in my thighs and goes all the way down, and then it goes into the rest of my body. But it is such an intense tingly sensation that it is on the verge of being painful. Like if it was any more tingly, it would hurt. It is that intense.
Wow.
And for a long time, I did not know what it was. I figured it out. So when I feel that, I know that that being is here, and I acknowledge it, and I ask it, okay, you know, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to tell me? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to tell you? And then the tingling sensation goes away. And so it doesn't happen to everybody in their thighs. I recently was having a Skype session with an experiencer from Baltimore, Maryland, and she said the same thing happens to her in her face, in her head.
Okay.
It can happen in all different parts of the body. So be very aware of that. Sometimes it's also, I'll be sitting here and I feel this wave of energy come right into my heart. And like my heart feels like it's expanding.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I get like this swoosh of tingly feelings through my body. And I know that something has connected with me. That could be either an ET, it could be an otherworldly being, or it could be a friend sending love, or it could be a friend sending me a Reiki attunement through the dimensions.
Sure.
So,
yeah, mine is very, very much akin to a warm rush all over my body, and what kind of feels like somebody's tied a kite string to the back end of my belly button. And is
like going down a roller coaster?
Kind of like somebody's tugging it. You know?
Yeah, I know what
and,
you mean.
And yeah,
I never
there's
way.
Kind
yeah.
of a there's kind of a pit of the stomach feeling where it's like, ooh,
uh-huh.
something just dropped out. But like something
yeah.
is tugging me. Like, check this
mm-hmm.
out. Come here. And yeah, that's what I have learned to tune into, is that warm rush and little tug from the back of my belly button of, hey, pay attention to this moment right here.
Right. A couple other things can happen. These happened to me, too. When my father passed away a couple of years ago, he came to visit me in my living room a few days after he passed. And when I was sitting there, all of a sudden, the frequency or the sound, the pitch in the room got really, really high. And I could hear it in my ears, and it really caught my attention. And I was looking at my cats, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, it was so loud and so high. And at the same time, I could see energy in the room, like static energy or like it was raining.
Ooh.
And I had just gotten back from Hawaii, and I had my shells and some rocks and other things on the table, and I could see energy coming off of them like it was fire. And I'm sitting there, and all of my senses are really super on alert, and I could see through the dimensions better than ever. I could hear pitches I never heard of before. And I'm looking at the cats, and I'm like, what is happening? And then, boom, my dad appears in this blue, big circle.
Wow.
So pay attention to what you hear. Sometimes you hear like a ringing or a buzzing sound. And also, everyone has the ability to see auras. Everyone has the ability to see the other dimensions in the room. So sometimes it might look like static energy, or you might see orbs. A lot of people see orbs of light. Do you see them?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
What color
I have,
do you see?
I have experienced typically green and blue.
Oh, you see? Oh, yeah, okay. It can be all different colors. So those are the things that I would suggest that people just really pay attention to and not dismiss them.
Well, and I think that's the biggest part. I myself, having a 2.5-year-old, I dismiss nothing. I dismiss nothing. And I say that with an open mind and an open heart, people. I don't care if my child comes to me and says, I see dead people. I dismiss nothing.
Yeah. right.
Like.
And you know they do. They see all kinds of things, and they remember their past lives.
It's really what the nets that we choose to put up in our lives is what I believe, Sev. And it has to do with, like you were saying, traumas that we have experienced, things that we no longer want to keep ourselves open to because we've been hurt there before. And it can be painful, it can be rough, but getting over those and moving to the next step can be so utterly beautiful at the same time. And being able to experience that transformation, be part of that transformation, and especially be inviting people to that transformation, Sev. That's what I love about you, is the fact that you are inviting people to transform themselves, and that you'll help them do that.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I truly believe it's important work. Like I said, whether you choose to believe in interdimensional beings, interdimensional entities, and intelligences or not, I think it's the important part is the interconnectivity with each other, the understanding that everything is vibration, everything, and that you were a part of that.
There's no, I don't, my energy doesn't stop anywhere, and your energy doesn't stop anywhere. Our energy, we're all one, and that's what it means, that we're all one.
Yeah.
My energy just keeps going into infinity, and so does yours, and they're just mingled together.
Yeah, and you know, like, prime example, I'm gonna get a little blue with it, people. I had to let go of a very dear friend yesterday. I had to put my cat down. Very, very long relationship, very healing relationship for both of us. It was beautiful. I felt bad. I hurt in the moment. I still hurt. You know, going out and looking at the tree and going like, yeah, that's where she'd be laying. She's still laying there. Her energy is still there. Like, it's not gone. She's, and that is not coming from any Christian aspect of me that would possibly say that, you know, and depends on your version of Christianity as to whether or not you think that cat had a soul. You know,
right.
I'm just talking about the energy, the wave that she is and that she has propagated in the world will never cease. It will never stop being.
And I talk about this very thing in my newsletter that's coming out tomorrow about why dogs and cats are here. I talk about how my cat came to visit me after she died, and how she was appearing in my house as a ghost cat. I talk about how my animals have communicated with me interdimensionally. and how cats and dogs reincarnate too, if you want them to.
Sure. Sure. And it's like I said, all energy. It cannot dissipate. It can only change form. You know?
Yeah, I'm sorry your kitty left Earth. That really that's such a painful thing.
She was painful for me, not for her. The painful thing for her was the gallbladder issues and cancer that she obviously had, things like that. So the kind thing to do was unfortunately what happened. The beautiful thing to know is that she is never gone.
No.
That she's always with me. She's always there.
Has she shown up? This was just last night?
This was yesterday, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm
sorry. Yesterday afternoon.
She might help you in your dreams, or you might just hear her purring as you're sitting on the couch.
Absolutely, and I would not be estranged to that or consider it strange were it to happen. Because, we shared a very special connection, and not a lot of people understand that between animals and people. It really is a special coexistence and a situation of choosing each other, I think.
Very much so. Yes. Just like we choose our parents and who we're born to, we choose our animals, or animals choose us.
Yeah. And we choose just much like I chose what to put on that moment. You know, like I said, very hard moment, very heavy moment. But at the same time, as it was happening, I was trying to simply experience the happening and not put anything into the happening. You know?
Yeah.
And just let the happening be the happening. Like, this is just a moment, and I'm here for a beautiful moment of transformation.
It's the continuation of life.
Yeah. And viewing it like that, for me, brings it to a different level. Brings it away from the somber and into something a little bit more beautiful that I can think about on the daily. And I think that's something that not enough people are doing in our society, is taking time to specifically nurture that good vibration. It's so easy to, low frequencies are so easy to generate. They take so little energy. Like, literally, with physics, they take so little energy to generate. High frequencies take a lot. They take a lot of energy to generate. So, for us to bring ourselves away from the lower energy, to bring ourselves away from thinking about things negatively, what are some of the things that you have learned over the years doing your interdimensional work and communication that just kind of help you on the daily?
Not to get caught up too much in what other people are saying or doing, even when you're interacting with someone, just to have the ability just to pull back a little bit and look at it from a higher perspective. We're still humans. We're still going to get emotional. We're still going to get upset. However, some of us go way overboard with emotion. Some of us are always getting upset. Some of us are always blaming other people for how they feel. And so one of the biggest things that changed my life was to just stop blaming other people for how I feel and to put the onus on me. So just because somebody says something nasty or rude to me doesn't mean that that has to ruin my day, or that I have to believe it, or that I have to defend it, or that it has to really upset me. But again, we're human beings, and a little bit of that does happen. But if you're able to control your reaction, because really what I learned was just to pay attention to how I am reacting. And in my reaction shows me where I need to work on myself, what my hang-ups are, what my fears are, what my blocks are. And so when you start paying more attention to your reaction than what the other person is telling you or saying to you, you end up getting in less arguments. You end up being a lot happier. You're not all caught up in what people are saying and doing. There's a lot of petty, ridiculous things that are going on, and you just lose interest in all of that.
Yeah, it really does, like you said, become the petty things that you don't worry about anymore.
That other people are caught up in worrying about. And you're like, well, you know, that's just okay. I mean, that's your choice to be caught up in that. But there is another way of being where it doesn't matter if so-and-so said whatever to you, really.
Like,
move on, because they're filtering, they're projecting on you. We all walk around in these bubbles of crap, these bubbles of what someone said to us when we were younger. These filters that have been created ever since we were born, and everything that we perceive, we're filtering, and we all have different filters. And so someone can say something to you and you can completely misinterpret it because of your filter. And is how arguments, and so I've become much more conscious of that. So my interpersonal relationships have gotten a lot better and a lot deeper. And I actually have a lot more friends than I used to because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because there isn't necessarily the game being played between people.
Right.
And false pretense being there, anything like that. As you were talking about that, I fully had this full scene in my head of somebody getting abducted and the aliens trying to have a conversation with them and the person just completely misunderstanding them, you know, like the whole time, just utter communication breakdown and things just devolving into a fight. That's not what I said. Well, that's what you meant. No, it didn't. Like,
that's interesting because all of my ET contact has the communication has been telepathic.
Sure.
So the beauty of telepathic communication is that it's much better than verbal communication, because not only do you hear the message, you feel the message. So there's no misunderstanding.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these misunderstandings that we have, of course, come from a general lack of empathy. Like you're saying, the not putting the feeling filter in between, and you know, that idea more of an outgoing empathy filter, you know, like more of a, hey, feel what you say before it comes out of your mouth. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and also
like
self-defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've
precisely
also become a lot less defensive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't care if you think, you know, I'm so such and such. Because I know I'm not, so I'm not going to sit here and defend myself against something that I'm not.
Yeah.
So all of it really just really helps with interpersonal relationships.
Yeah, and like I said, the fact that you have brought everything around to that and to the point of communication in the world around us, not just interdimensionally. That's what I love about your message, is the fact that it has to be carried over here as well. It can't just be something that you're using for a one-sided conversation with the other side. It's something that you have to try to live. And, you know, as you're exploring, you'll naturally have that feeling of control. You'll naturally have that confidence to say, I am the one in control.
Yeah, that's a pretty good feeling. Self-empowerment. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. And unfortunately, I don't think that spiritually, people are armed enough in that right. I think religiously, a lot of people are, you know, and I mean that both in context of religion and of science, both sides of that, because we talk a lot about the religion of science and how scientists don't talk about this stuff because it, well, you know, that's not science, that's parapsychology. Well, yeah, you know, and the Earth was flat for how long? Until we had open-minded conversation about facts that were different than your facts, the Earth was flat, and people got burned at the stake for saying otherwise. Right. You know?
So, John, it's becoming a little more, there's a lot more acceptance with the topics that we're talking about. And going back to religion, what I find interesting is a lot of people who are really, really religious do not believe in talking to aliens. But there are billions of people who every day are having communications with otherworldly beings through the form of a prayer.
Yep.
And so they're communicating with an otherworldly being, doesn't live on this planet, knows everything about them, that they have complete trust in, that they believe will control events around them to make their wishes come true, have all these magical abilities.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly okay.
Yep.
So it's perfectly okay to say, I just had a conversation with Archangel Michael.
Yeah.
And if you say, I just had a conversation with a gray, it's like, ah, you've crossed the line.
Yeah. No.
Hey,
man, I told people that wore collars that I had a conversation with God, and they're like, okay. All right. It was a hard conversation because I knew these guys. Like, I knew them for years, these priests that I went to. And many of them were really cool about it and really open about it. And there were some of them. Oh, yeah. No, like, I studied in the seminary for a year, my first year in college, Sev. Like, I went down the path, like, hard. Because of this voice that I followed, and I still follow it. I'm not going to lie. Like, the voice is still there. I still talk to it. Well, it's still there on a daily basis.
Did the priest believe you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Voice believe me. That's why I'm like, I don't care what anybody says. Voice believe me. I believe the voice.
No, the priest.
No. No,
you.
No, not all of them did, Sev.
Okay, that is where I throw my hands up and go, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, why not?
And,
why can't God talk to you?
Yeah.
These are priests that believe that God talks to people.
Oh, I'm with you. And then it went deeper and deeper, you know, because, well, of course, I'm talking to you right now. I've talked to exorcists. I've talked to paranormal investigators. I obviously believe in these things. So when I ask, you know, like, what is the church's teaching on ghosts, the paranormal? Oh, well, that doesn't exist. What? Wait a minute. What do you mean that doesn't exist? Then how do we have exorcism? That doesn't exist. How do we have the afterlife if that? Like, there's a whole range of questions here that we really need to rabbit hole on, Padre, if these things don't exist. So, yeah.
You know, they're written somewhere down in the bowels of the Vatican.
Way somewhere, sure. But, yeah, and that's why I will always make the differentiation and the hard differentiation between religion and spirituality, and why I will even say the religion of science. Because, yeah, even they suppress information from coming out, knowledge about these things, all kinds of stuff. I mean, what was it all of a couple years ago that they were afraid that they were going to tear a hole into another dimension with CERN? You know? Obviously, other dimensions have to exist by science if they're afraid they're going to, like, rip into another dimension. You know? So, like, it's to me, these conversations have to be had. And I say that as someone who was brought up as a Roman Catholic, who is now sitting here with a literal desk full of crystals and minerals in front of him. Because I'm not going to deny that when I hold one, I feel it. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Call me a sorcerer if you want, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more sensitive to the electromagnetic fields they put off, what have you. But that's what is for me. That's a fact. And it's going to take you a whole lot to convince me otherwise, Skyanth. That's all I can say is, like, I will follow the scientific principles all day. But there are things out there that we are just now starting to realize through the realms of science that have been part of magic and mystery for many, many years. And the fact that there are other dimensions, that there may be other realities that we are not aware of.
Well, quantum physics says that there are parallel Earths.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely.
Different. And we're living on those parallel Earths. Each of us has a parallel life on that parallel Earth.
Indeed.
Yeah, and then when you start to think about that, then you really at some point you just stop thinking about it because it just you get too confused.
Yeah, yeah, precisely.
Go so there, far.
Well, it does eventually become information overload, Sev.
At some point, like
we were saying earlier, like we just got finished saying, at some point it just becomes rote exercise, and religion just disappears from it. Religion just slowly dwindles away. The belief stays, the core stays, and that's where the spirituality is. That's where the true change and personal transformation lies, is in that opportunity to use one as a springboard to the other and truly evolve and become somebody different. To allow yourself to explore these other vibrational realms on the daily, whether it be through meditation, mantra, what have you, whether it be through binaural beats or crystals, frequency meditation, so many different things. I myself have been using a Muse Brainwave headset lately on the road.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Oh, my God, so cool. So cool.
Yeah.
Really interactive, really cool stuff, Sev. If you ever get a chance to try one out, I highly recommend them. Really good for keying in to that place in that moment, you know, where you really do have to be, and it really is about that, folks. It's about being there in that moment and just accepting that moment for what it is and what you receive for what it is without judgment.
Yeah, that's the trick. Also, trying to find like-minded individuals to talk to.
Sure.
So whether that's finding other people that are on a spiritual path or finding other people who've seen a UFO or actually been on board a UFO, you know, there's different types of contact. I have really found that when I started the spiritual path, it was just really important for me to meet people and talk with people about my spiritual transformation and ask questions and hear their stories and to share ideas. And then the same thing with my ET experiences. And because of the internet, it's so easy now to find groups to talk with, meetup groups, Facebook pages. It's easier than ever now.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. And, you know, be that open mind, folks. Be that open heart. Be the one that is willing to have the conversation. One of my favorite guests that we have on regularly is Billy Joe Kane, with the Radical Empathy Education Foundation. And to see things like the fact that Houston just made the list of one of the top cities for human trafficking in the world. These are things that, like, my family that lives there don't even know. Like, this did not make the 6 o'clock news tonight. But it's information that we need to know. It's hard conversations that we need to have. Having these conversations about how to explore other realms of reality within ourselves and within the universe around us with people like Sev is important. It is the exploration of our mind, of our soul, of our connection to the universe around us. And I say soul without religious context, people. I mean the energy that is us. And it, to explore that unabridged, to explore that without shame, without fear, to have these conversations like tonight.
It's the fear that's really debilitating.
Yeah.
And a lot of religions instill that, and that is the platform from which they operate.
Sure.
It's the platform of fear. And, you know, that'll just mess you up.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a former boss who talks about numerous things that we talk about on this show, but talks about them in a context of utter fear and a feel for him. Because it's one of those, like, wow. You know, that's a really important topic, and you could probably reach a whole lot of people if you weren't just trying to scare them. If you were actually having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for coming out with this information, Sev, with your experiences, for sharing your experiences in your amazing book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, as well as in your lecture series that you're doing around right now, that you've been out with the workshops that you're doing with your channel, Alien Spirit TV, as well as your website, planetsev.com.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely. And, what's next? I know you were saying that you're working on a book. Give us a little sneak peek, if you can, as to what we can look for next from Sev.
Well, I had a hard time trying to pinpoint the subject matter of my next book because there's so many things that I wanted to write about. But right now, I think I know what it is. But I'm not ready to say.
Okay. That's all right.
I also have really interesting projects in the work, but they haven't been solidified yet. So I don't want to say that either. It's just the beginning of the new year, so there's a lot of things beginning. However, I can say that I will continue to make videos for my YouTube channel. The 10-part series on how to activate your DNA, part one has come out. And in a couple of weeks, I will be taping part two. That'll be out in a few weeks.
Great.
I'm thinking of maybe blogging again. I'm not sure. I had a blog and then I stopped, and now I think I might get that going again. So if anyone's interested in a blog, that would be on my website. But I tend to, it's just a lot easier for me to just sit and talk in front of a camera.
Yeah.
It's instead of just writing it all down. So that's why I feel like a lot of my information is being channeled into my channel, Alien Spirit TV.
Well, fantastic. And that is absolutely where you can go to catch all the latest and greatest from our guest, Sev Talk. Make sure to stop on by Amazon. You can get a copy of her book there. It is also available in the Dudes and Beer store, dudesandbeer.com/store. It's where you can find
it. It is
absolutely all of our guests who have books.
Thanks.
Their stuff is available in our store. We want to make things as available as possible to our audience. And also, make sure to check out the episode post on Dudes and Beer, everybody, because that is where you'll be able to see the photos that she was talking about of the white man and the dog, as well. They're very tastefully done. They are not. Don't start getting any ideas, audience. But there are the pictures of the X's as well. So Billy is shaking his head like, yes, I saw the pictures of the exes. They're fine. They are audience approved. I do not have to put an 18 or over rating on them at all. That's right. They're already redacted. So while you're online checking all that out, folks, do make sure to stop on by WMLD. Check them out. Great, great stuff there. The Voice of the Hudson Valley. That is where you can catch all of the replays of Dudes and Beer as well as Yes But Why. Until next time, everyone, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Remember, if you can't be good at it. Sev, please do hold the line while we close out the show, and we'll be right back with you. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.